Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We're all aware that life is uncertain and death is sure. But the Christian does not look upon death as others. He lives in Christ and he dies in hope because of Christ. He looks for that city whose builder and maker is God. We read, we sing, we think, we talk of heaven. Oh, think of the home over there. We sing there's a beautiful place called heaven. You see, salvation not only is our goal, but it is our expectation. But did you ever think, what if I am lost? Admittedly, it is not a pleasant thought. In fact, it is so unpleasant that most will not seriously consider it at all. Probably most do not think of being lost in terms of themselves, but only in terms of others. Even those who do not believe there is a life after death do not think that they would be lost even if there is a life beyond this. Every person who becomes a Christian has once considered this possibility. This is one of the reasons he became a Christian. Since there are only two eternal destinies, heaven or hell, it is worth our time to consider being lost. Indeed, it is a sobering and frightening thought, but there are a few things of which we can be sure if we are lost. One is, we will not be alone. Now, this may at first appear to be comforting, but it's not in this instance. Being alone is something many of us dread, but being in a crowd with the wrong ones is even worse. Jesus taught that more will be lost than saved. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. There is that nagging thought that most likely, whether we be saved or lost, we will probably have taken someone else with us. This is because we each have influence. Romans 14:7 reads, "For none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself." And probably those closest to us, the ones nearest and dearest to us, will be the ones influenced the most. It could be your wife or husband, your child, your father or mother, or a dear friend. If we are lost, someone precious to us will likely be lost also, and we will have contributed to it. Certainly murderers, liars, thieves, adulterers, the ungodly, the disobedient, the rebellious, the vulgar, the scoffer, the atheist, the hypocrite, the lewd and the dishonest, Satan and all of his angels with the heathens and the idolaters, they will be in hell. What a company with which to exist throughout all eternity. If we are lost, we will be lost forever. Now, many are lost now while they are living, but they still have an opportunity to be saved. They can change their spiritual state if they would take advantage of the mercy of God presently extended to them. But after death, there will be no change. After the judgment, there is no second chance. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment, Hebrews 9, 27. Matthew 25, 46 reads, "And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Revelation 20 and verse 10, "And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now we glory in an eternal heaven. But let us realize the same description is given regarding hell. Luke 16:26, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Now this doctrine of purgatory, where one's sins are burned out of them over a period of years, that's not biblical. It is a doctrine of salvation eventually that bypasses the blood of Christ. One pays for his own sins. How many people have rejected the invitation of Christ and died, thinking that somehow, some way, they shall have another opportunity? For let us know that for which we can look, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary, Hebrews 10 and verse 27. There is coming a day in your life, dear listener, the last opportunity to go to heaven will have passed if you have not taken advantage of it. If we are lost, we'll suffer a twofold loss. We will not only be barred from heaven, and what a loss that would be to miss the company of the saved through the ages, the joy, the peace, the fellowship with the righteous, but we must suffer the torments of hell, with all the misery, the despair, the hopelessness, the darkness, the fear, the weeping, the gnashing of teeth. The Scriptures do not offer us a middle ground. While there are indications of degrees of punishment and reward, we shall exist in eternity either in heaven or hell. Either we suffer a twofold loss, or we enjoy a twofold gain, namely, we will escape hell and enjoy heaven. And we can know also if we are lost, we will have only ourselves to blame. Yes, others may influence you one way or another, but ultimately, friend, nobody can make you rebel against God just like nobody can make us obey Him. Each one is personally accountable before God, and each one will be individually judged. Many are trying now to persuade the lost to be saved. I'm trying to persuade you to be saved. Because, you see, God wants you to be saved. He gave His Son so that you might be saved, John 3:16. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Nobody has to beg God to save them. Nobody has to weep and wail asking God for salvation. He is more than willing. He's always ready to save whosoever will do His will. And Jesus, His Son, wants you to be saved. That's why He died on the cross. He came to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19:10. He gave His life as a ransom for many, Matthew 20:28. He gave Himself for us and redeemed us, Titus 2:14. He tasted of death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. Our salvation was His very mission to this earth, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. Not only God the Father and the Christ, but the Holy Spirit wants you to be saved. Even now, He invites you to come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, Revelation 2:17. The word of salvation was given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. And the angels of heaven want you to be saved. Luke 15:10 tells us, even so I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. But let me point out somebody else that wants you to be saved. The members of the Lord's church, those who are already saved, they want you to be saved. They know the blessings of forgiveness. They know the joy in Christ. They know the peace that passeth understanding. They know the hope of heaven. They know the providence that God has promised. They know that all spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. They know that salvation is in Christ, 2 Peter 2:10. And they have taken advantage of the offer made to man by the grace of God. They have the same attitude toward the lost as Paul did toward his Jewish kinsmen who were yet lost. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, Romans 10 and verse 1. The lost, when they are in an assembly of Christians, as so often they are, can know that every Christian heart longs for them to be saved. And if one is lost, it is because we have ourselves to blame. Others want it otherwise. Even those who are lost want you to be saved. At least, that's the way it was with the rich man of Luke 16. He failed in his life, and he had brothers still living that he did not want to come where he was. He wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back and warn them. Of course, they had adequate warning from the law of Moses if they would be spared. And they could have been spared if they'd listened to the law of Moses. Seldom do those in sin really want their children to live in sin. It's unusual that those in prison want others to be in prison. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, however, tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." My dear listener, the good news of the gospel is that the lost need not remain lost. We separate ourselves from God by our sins and our iniquities, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And all have sinned, Romans 3, 23. It ought to be obvious that we cannot earn, we cannot merit, we cannot deserve salvation because of our own good works of righteousness. But man must therefore look to another to save him. And God has provided us that Savior. You know who that Savior is. We must come to the Christ that He has provided, because only through Him can we be saved. And Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey Him, Hebrews 5, 9. Therefore, we must believe in Christ. We are to repent of our sins. We are to confess our faith in Christ. We are to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. The way of salvation is open to all. And if one is lost, what a loss it will be. But, dear listener, there's no need for you to be lost. Come to Christ. Come His way and be saved. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker, Jim Boyd. Until next time.